get right into it. These calls will always work the same way. We're going to start off with some wins. I've not seen some of you guys in over a month. Some of you guys I see on a weekly basis as you're my guys. So for our people on the call right now, let's share some wins. That's some things are going well in your training. Some things are going well in your life. I'd like to hear some. So TK, you're already you're for some reason you're pinned right to my screen. So why don't you start us off? How have you been in the last month?
I've been traveling actually. So not much gym work, but a lot of hiking and hills and stuff like that. Came back, hit the gym twice or three times already, and I didn't lose any strength. So all good.
Okay, that's a win. So when you travel and you don't gym, is that just because you're choosing not to gym? There's no gym in the area for you. You're in the woods.
It was a lot of kind of city hopping across Korea, so it was like pretty difficult. And stayed in a temple for a day as well, but lots of hill climbs and hikes. So yeah.
Okay, so with your training goals, because I know you're trying to grow some muscle and get a little bit heavier and get a little bit bigger. How did you handle that with not training? Did you make any adjustments with your food?
To be honest, my metabolism's pretty adaptable, so I ate like a pig and it still came back pretty much the same weight. So yeah, no problem there.
Good. All right. Got it. Noted. Eat like a pig. Cool. Someone else like to share some of their wins within the last month? Damn, she haven't seen you in a while. What's new, my friend?
Hi, Harris. I know it's been long. For me, I've just been gaining muscle. So I'm at 163, all-time high for me. Yeah, and then I'm lean too. So I'm maintaining that body fat percentage.
That's a
So,
nice win, especially with summer coming around.
I was waiting for summer.
Good. Elias down 11 pounds. That's doing quite good. HRV is up as well. What do you think the biggest change was in the body weight going down?
It was definitely the just adhering to the diet. I think that was a big factor. Just maintaining my exercise routine, staying on track with that. But diet is definitely the key. I think that's what the difference has been. It's logging in and just owning to it.
Kind of always is. I mean, when you want to grow muscle, you have to create a stimulus and then feed the stimulus with food. To lose body fat, you don't have to create the stimulus, you have to create the deficit. And the deficit is consuming less energy than your body needs to maintain itself. So you got to go get into a deficit, then you just got to kind of stay there for a duration, and then that's where the fat comes off. So that's why dieting for one day doesn't work. It's got to be extended. So
Yeah,
that's
like you told me too, like kind of feeling those little hunger pains and stuff, definitely just that little tweak, that little slight hunger and stuff is like, okay, wow, it's dropped an extra couple of pounds just by doing that. So
yep. If you want to lose weight, you gotta feel hungry sometimes. If you want to gain
yeah.
weight, you gotta very rarely feel hungry.
So, yep.
You're like, oh no, I'm hungry. You didn't eat enough on the previous meal, or you waited too long to eat your next one. Okay, that's good. It's 6:13, so let's get right into this presentation, this topic today. I have a feeling this is kind of an important one for a lot of us guys here who do lifting and stuff. Let me just pull up my screen. Do, do. Just gonna share here. There we go. We got that. Move me out of the way. Pain-free pressing. How to protect your shoulders and build a bigger bench. Okay, great, good. We got it set up there. So for a lot of us guys here, we want to use the bench press as a tool to increase muscular size or increase muscular strength. And it's a great exercise to do both. To really develop a muscle, you have to isolate it and you have to fatigue it. The barbell bench press is not the best isolator or a pec, but because you're using a bilateral device such as a barbell, you can load it quite heavy and you're also flat on your back. So that allows you to be more stable. So, from a chest perspective, you can develop some good upper body muscle and you can develop some good upper body strength. The bench press is used in the NFL Combine as one of their fitness assessments, max reps 225. Kind of a silly test. I always thought it was, as someone who's a strength conditioning coach, by trade, we would always use what's called a backwards design model and a needs analysis for sport. So if I'm working with a wrestler, I'm looking at, okay, this wrestler needs to be mobile in these areas here. They gotta be able to turn their head 90 degrees. They have to have a really thick neck as well. They have to be really strong with their upper and their lower body. If I'm training a soccer player, they have to have really good VO2 max, good cardio, so at that 75th minute, they can still go hard. If I'm training a rugby player, depending on their position, they might need to be more explosive and fast. They might need to have a little bit more endurance. But in football, the average play is 3.5 to 4.5 seconds. But the bench press for reps, fitness test, guys are hitting 30, 40, 50 reps. It's got no real correlation because it's more of an endurance thing. But talking to some guys that played a higher level, they would say to me that it was more of one of those tests that they would do to see what is someone's mental toughness, because everyone knows what the bench press is. You could even take a Tom Brady, put him on the bench, he would have an idea of how to do it. And if he got better year over year, that means he's been practicing. So the bench press is popular exercise, been around a long time. So let's see if somehow we can make it better for all of us in here. So just currently, does anyone here have any issues, shoulder issues, neck issues, and bench press hurts them? You can just wave your hand up, or you could unmute yourself and tell us your story. Okay, so in my presentation view, I can't see everyone. So if anyone has an issue with the bench press and they want to talk about it, unmute yourself now. If not, I'm going to go to the next screen.
So I was having issues with the bench press, and I had rotator cuff surgery in December, and so it's getting close to the point where I can return to the bench press, but I think I'll be a lot stronger in the long run.
Okay, great, good. So this will be good for you to kind of sit in on, and I'll keep it very simple. It's a 1 hour thing. I teach a powerlifting course, and in the powerlifting course, the bench press is a full day. So we go over the bench press in about a 7 hour period. We got 1 hour today. Let's see how much we can get done. I'm going to tell you the simple stuff that we need to know. So what we're going to go over today is we're going to go over an assessment protocol, and then these pieces here that can make you more of a pain-free and build your bigger bench press, from shoulder blades to grip to the elbow flare to the bar path, and then some extras in there. Now, when you go into the gym, first time in the gym, the bench press tends to be the first exercise we do. I remember my first time in the gym, it was a chest press machine because I knew there's no way I could actually lift a barbell off my chest. I wasn't strong enough, but it was a pressing-like motion. But I was never assessed. I just went to the gym myself and I just got on the machine and I started doing some pressing. But some assessments can leave clues. These are not going to be, check here, I have to exit this. I can do that. Added someone in the room. There we go. These are not absolutes, but they lead to suggestions of if you should or shouldn't bench press. For some of us, we just shouldn't bench press. Some of us are born to bench press based on our anatomy, and some of us are not. Someone who's got the anatomy that's good for bench press, they tend to have. I'll keep my shirt on. My sweater off. Someone's got the anatomy for bench press, they tend to have a very large chest and a very front to back large rib cage. And if they have a very large rib cage and large chest, what tends to happen is their torso position makes the barbell travel minimal distance. Contrast to someone who doesn't have a super large chest, they might have more of a smaller chest. When they bench press, that bar has to travel a much greater distance. So your anatomy right away can then say, is this good for your shoulder, or is your shoulder going to have to do a lot more work? If someone has a barrel-like chest and they've got short arms, so a short forearm, a short humerus. What happens is when the bar comes down and it touches their chest, the shoulder only goes to about there. When you've got long arms and more of a flatter chest, your shoulder goes more into this position here. If the shoulder goes into an anterior tilt like this, the head of the humerus goes in that direction. I'm looking weird. Goes up and forward, that anterior tilt. When you have an anterior tilt and you do a bench press, what happens is one of your rotator cuff muscles is getting pressed upon in this motion. If it's getting pressed and rubbed upon over and over again, it can start to fray. If it starts to fray, it starts to weaken. If it starts to weaken, it can start to swell as well, which then makes it larger in size, which means it frays even more. So all of a sudden, the bench press starts being like, that hurts my rotator cuff. So what do we normally do? We grab a dumbbell, we do a couple of these, we do a couple of those, because it's common to have someone with a rotator cuff scenario from the bench press if their anatomy is not ideal or their technique is not ideal. So you can do an assessment to see right off the bat, is bench press a good exercise for you? So we're going to look at that right now. So the assessment. So these are a couple of simple things that I would do in a live session with someone, but you guys can do this stuff at home as well. Essentially, what we're looking for is asymmetry, where one side moves different than the other, and then we're also looking for pain. If you do any of these assessments here and you automatically meet pain, don't bench press. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Get it fixed out or get it fixed first and then go into the bench press. So we got these four assessments here. So the first one is the shoulder abduction test. So wherever you guys are right now, I'm going to suggest you do this one with me. So all we're going to do is we're going to go in a standing position, put our elbows at 90 degrees, and all we're going to do is a chicken wing. We're going to pull our elbows up, out to the sides, and then back down. And we would do this four or five times. And a self-assessment for you would be, does my right and left shoulder feel the same? Is there any pain when I get into this position? If you're like, oh, there's a little bit of pain when I go up high, you would then go to the second part of the test and just do it with straight arms. And with straight arms, you would go up as high as they go and then come back down. And if as you come back down, you feel pain or sensation or a drop, pain or sensation or a drop, you probably have some form of rotator pathology, which means there's something going on where you can't stabilize on the way down. So bench press would be a big no-no. If you bring your arms up to almost 180 degrees, so it's not a full 180, but when you get up to about here in this area, if you feel pinchiness, you bring your arms up overhead and you feel pinchiness in that area, that means you don't have a lot of upper body movement in there. So you're likely when you do overhead pressing and maybe the bench press, you're going to get rotator cuff pinching or what's known as impingement syndrome. Sometimes you can just change your technique on the fly. Like if you get your shoulder blades back and down, then you do and it goes away, then you're fine for bench press. But that would be the first test, the shoulder abduction. So it'd be 90 degrees, no pain, we're good. And then straight arm, any pain there, no good. The second one would be a shoulder flexion test. So for this one here, we would bring our arms with our thumbs in this direction here. We bring them all the way up overhead. And we're trying to see, can I get to 180 degrees? Kind of like, is my bicep in line with my ear? If my bicep is in line with my ear, I've got pretty good shoulder flexion, which also means that my scapula can move up and down on both sides. Now, if you do this yourself and you find one arm is more forward than the other, so here, you guys can see, I'm going to exaggerate. But if you're like this and you've got a different range of motion on one side, we don't want a barbell bench press. Because what we're asking our body to do is be symmetrical to a bar, but we don't actually have the symmetry left and right side. So all that's going to happen is the body's going to have to compensate somewhere. So if you don't have a problem, you're going to create a problem if you are asymmetrical dramatically on one side. So that would be a test that says no barbell bench press. The next one would be an internal rotation test. So an internal rotation test would look like this. I'm going to show you from the back. All you're going to do is, you'll see, you're going to make a fist, thumb goes up, then you're going to bring your arm behind you and you're going to reach up to the opposing shoulder blade. If you can't get your arm up, you only get your arm to about here, then what that means is you don't have a lot of internal rotation at the shoulder. And if you don't have good internal rotation of the shoulder and you go to bench press, you're more likely to fall into this position here. And if you're more likely to fall into this position here, you're going to beat up your shoulder. So you need to either increase your internal range of motion with specific mobility and stretching protocols, and likely decrease whatever's tightening that stuff up. So there's a good chance that actors in the movie Over the Top, remember Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie? They would have a lot of stiffness and tightness from arm wrestling. So they'd be great at doing this motion, but they're not going to be great at doing the bench press. So if you fall into a competitive arm wrestling situation and you do that regularly, you're probably not going to like the bench press. Now, the fourth test is the external rotation. So for this one here, you would just kind of put your back against a wall. So pretend my back's against the wall. I'm going to put my head against the wall. And I'm just going to pull my elbows back to the wall. And I'm going to see if I can flip both my hands to the wall. If I can flip both my hands to the wall and then glide my forearms up about three quarters of the way, keeping them on the wall, then I'm in a good position to do exercises like overhead press. If, when you put your hands on the wall and you try to flip them back and you can't flip them back onto the wall, they don't go back. Hold on, let me sit down and do this. So they only go to about here. And what that means is when you go to do an overhead press, your arm ain't going to be able to go to here. So instead, your arm's going to go to there. So if I only go to here, when I do my overhead barbell press or dumbbell press, my presses are going to look like this rather than this. So I'm not going to be in a good position to activate and utilize my shoulder muscles. I'm not going to be able to stack my joints one on top of the other. It's not going to be very stable. And what's going to happen is the front of the shoulder is going to hold all the load. So if you take 65 pounds and you press it overhead, that anterior deltoid is going to get really developed and really overworked. So what you could do in that situation, if aesthetics training is a big goal for you, and you still want to improve like maybe muscular size, take a incline bench press and just incline a little bit more. And you can do your press in the range of motion you can, but you wouldn't want to take a barbell and do a standing military press or a push press, anything overhead. So those are the four tests that you can do. And then my favorite test is actually just grabbing a barbell, lying on a bench, and then do five reps touching your chest. I call it the dummy test because if it hurts and then you add more weight on the bar, you're a dummy. Empty bars shouldn't hurt. And if you add more weight, it doesn't go away. It just gets worse. So the dummy test, sometimes you don't do any of these flexibility tests. You just lie down on the bench. Ooh, that hurts. It's not going to get better when you add more weight. So that's the assessment protocol in a very simple form of how we would do it. Remember, the barbell is a bilateral implement. We have to conform our bodies to it. So if something's different left and right side, then we try to do that exercise. Compensations tend to happen. Any questions on the assessment piece? Okay. So that's assessment. So now what we're going to look at here is we're going to look at the shoulder blade in a little bit more detail. When we set up on the bench press, we want the shoulder blades in a position of stability. A stable base allows you to exert a lot of force. So if Vamshi and I were in the gym together, and we're gonna push against each other. Actually, this probably won't work. We're about this. You're 168 now, Vamshi?
165, yeah.
165. Okay, we're about the same weight. So if we push against each other, we're probably not going anywhere. But if you push against Steve, right? Coach Steve is gonna push you across the room. But if Vamshi is allowed to put his foot on the wall, And Steve isn't allowed to put his foot on the wall. Vamsi's going to win. He's going to be stronger because he's created more stability. He's pressing off something very stable. That wall's not going to move. He can exert a lot more force. When you bench press and you don't have any stability from your shoulder blades, you're going to be lifting an unstable state, and then the shoulder gets angry, and we don't want an anterior tilt because an angry shoulder is a painful shoulder. So when we set up on the bench, you sit down on the bench, or you lie down the bench, you should actually slide yourself up the bench. If you slide up the bench, your shoulder blades do this. They go down. And if you pull your shoulder blades together, like you're holding a pencil between them, they go back. So for everyone here right now that's watching me, I want you just to do this. Just follow me along here. Lift your shoulders up to your ears. That is an elevated scapula. Shoulder blades are elevated. This is a very unstable position. Do the opposite. Pull them down to your shoulder or to your back pockets and use tension to do that. Great. Now we've all got long ass necks. Perfect. So in that position there, now pull your shoulder blades together. Squeeze them in tight. That is the bench press stable position of the shoulder blade. Put your arms out in front as if you're holding a bar. Keeping those shoulder blades down and pulled in, pretend you're pulling a bar to your chest. You should feel stiffness, very stable. Now keep the shoulder blades in that position and do your press. Still stable. When we come down, I want everyone to do this. So what I want to do now is shrug a little bit and tilt your shoulders up. That is an unstable position. And when we are in an unstable position, the head of the humerus goes up and forward, and the rotator cuff, the infraspinatus is getting jacked up in that area. It doesn't like that. So if we don't set up right, all the reps we do, we're going to set our shoulders up for pain down the road. So when you do the bench press, you have to retract and depress your scapula. And if you slide up the bench, that works really good. If you lie down on the bench and you're pulling yourself up and down, up and down, I see guys grab the bar and they lift up, they lift, and they're trying to get a little bit of like mental momentum. I don't know what they're doing, but every time you lift your body off the bench and you come back down, you lose that retract, depress scapula, that stable base. So I always coach and teach people to slide up the bench with those muscles pulling the shoulder blades down and back. And then when you unload the weight, you're in a very stable position. If you do that every time, you are less likely to have any pain develop in the pressing. Any questions on that? Okay, moving on. Grip. Grip is an interesting topic when it comes to the bench press because it varies from person to person. The worst advice you can ever receive on bench press is if someone says, "I bench like this and I lift a lot of weight, so you should bench like that." It tends to happen that some people are very strong in a close grip. Some people are very strong in a wide grip. That is not usually a preference of choice of just what you want to do. There is a component of your anatomy. Bill Kazmaier, world's strongest man, had some records in the bench press and stuff. He always talked about bench pressing with his arms as tight to his rib cage as possible. If anyone knows who Bill Kazmaier is, in his day, you would have remembered that he was a very wide young man. So when Bill would bench press and put his forearms against his rib cage was twice as wide as Chris's. So he didn't look like this. If I bench with my forearms into my rib cages, I'm doing a close grip bench, which gives me a massive range of motion on the exercise. It also makes my shoulder go into that position there. I'd rather have a vertical humerus in the bottom. Now, guess what? Because Bill was so wide here and he was wide front to back, when he did a close grip bench, it was more like this. So when he'd have his forearms touching his rib cages, he was very stable, minimal range of motion, and it worked really good because he was a giant man. So for Bill, that's the technique you want to use. That's the grip you want to use. But for the rest of us, that's not always the case. Closer grip tends to mean more of an elbow tuck, and you're going to touch the bar lower on your body. If you've got short arms, you can use that technique. If you've got short arms and a big chest, you can use that grip, no problem. You can go wider grip as well, no problem. You can go super wide, no problem. But if you have a smaller chest and you have longer arms, a close grip will likely lead to shoulder pain with a lot of bench press. Instead, if you've got those longer arms, that smaller chest, go with a wider grip, more of like a mid grip to wide grip, like in these photos here. What ends up happening is your range of motion is reduced, but the more important thing is the shoulder doesn't get beat up because this is an unstable position versus this. So that's kind of a key thing, is your anatomy would make a suggestion of what grip is best for you. And if you touch the bar low on your chest, hold on a sec. The lower I touch on my chest, I have to come over that. So if I touch towards my belly button, I've got to press back up over the shoulder. If I touch high on the chest, my elbow position and forearm position might be different, but I don't have to move the bar as great of a distance. So for a long arm person who uses a closer grip bench press and touches towards their abdomen, their belly button, that's going to be a really lengthened range of motion. It's going to be the hardest way to kind of do it. So if you fall in that category with your anatomy, don't use that technique. Go medium grip to wide grip. Okay, elbow flare. I talked about it a little bit before. Let me just make one adjustment here. The elbow flare essentially is the angle that the elbow goes to in the bottom of the bench press. Now, this one here can be a little bit more individualized, where you can choose what feels the strongest. If you're using a wide grip and you have a high flared elbow, you're going to be touching higher up towards your collarbone. If you use a close grip, you're naturally going to have more of a tucked elbow. When we use the bench press, you have to ask yourself, what am I using the bench press for? This applies to dumbbell pressing too. What do I want to get out of the exercise? Because if you want to get strength, that's different than hypertrophy. Elias, we talked about your position before. Since you're on the call, would you mind unmuting yourself and tell me that what did you do different with your dumbbell press to get more chest activation?
Do more chest, definitely lick, keep the chest up. And what you instructed me to do, and it actually worked, was flaring the shoulders, the arms out. Instead of having them kind of like down at 45 degrees, once I flared them out, I was able to get that full extension and contraction of the pec muscle.
Yeah.
And that totally did the trick.
Yeah. So we were trying to train the muscle, isolate the muscle, develop the muscle, just one muscle, or the majority being the pec. So when I got videos from him, he was showing me this technique here at the elbow. It allowed him to lift a big weight. He was pushing some big weights. And I said, but the distance from the elbow to the midline of the chest, that determines how much this muscle works. So if I can get that elbow position further away from that midline, and the load is stacked over my wrist, the distance from here to here, the chest muscle has to work. And when you use more of a flare, the chest muscle will actually stretch, it lengthens. So I can get way more hypertrophy benching like this than like this. But I can usually get more strength benching like this because my body will bias pec, anterior deltoid, tricep. When I'm pressing just like this, the majority that's biased is the pec. So the question has to be, what do you want to get out of the exercise? If you're training for strength, tuck that elbow. If you're training for aesthetics, flare that elbow. But when you look at, I got a cool photo here. So here would be the elbow position that we're talking about, literally. So you can have a 50 to 70 degree shoulder abduction, and that's kind of the standard for the bench press world for moving big weights that you want to be at. But like I mentioned before about Bill Kazmaier, if this woman here said, okay, I'm just going to bench the way Bill said, and she brought her elbow into her rib cage, she'd have a tremendous range of motion for that bench press, and she wouldn't be able to push the maximal weight she wanted to. But if she wanted to develop upper body anterior muscles, we would just coach her to get that elbow a little bit higher. So that's where Your elbow flare comes into play. Any questions on elbow flare? Okay. Moving on. Now let's talk about the bar path. The bar path is essentially where does the bar travel during the exercise? When we're doing barbell bench press, if the bar were to go just straight up and straight down, you would have to have a maximal flare. So I'd have to be in this position to get it to go straight down, which that means it's probably going to touch around my collarbone. And honestly, with my arm length, if I have a barbell in my hand, I can't actually get it to touch. I wouldn't be able to if I stayed here. So for me to actually touch my torso, I'd have to flare my elbows in a little bit just to get a touch. So if I'm lifting for sport, bar's got to touch my chest. So that's not going to be the best way for me to press. I'm not going to a vertical bar path, completely vertical. It's not going to be good for me. I'm not going to be able to do it. But the bigger bench pressers in the world, what they use from a technique is the bar path is slightly forward, down, up, back. So you can see in this photo here, it's like an escalator. You can visualize an escalator. As the bar comes lower, it's going a little bit forward. As you press, it's going up and backwards. Because our starting position is our most stable position. When we're holding the bar in our hand, the bar is going to be directly over my shoulder blade, my scapula, over here. So this would be my stablest place. If I said to everyone, hold a push-up as long as you can, nobody's going to put their hands up towards their face. They'll naturally stack them underneath the shoulder, which is actually on the opposing side of the scapula, the shoulder blade. That's where you're most stable. But people with optimal bench press technique for strength, they'll start there. Then as they come down, the bar starts to go a little bit lower. So my touch point would be about here, but my top position is here. So that would be the distance I have to cover as I lower the bar down to come back up, because I'm not going to flare completely for strength. So the best bar path for someone is forward and down and then up and back as they go through. If you touch low, but you press vertically, what ends up happening is your press looks like this. Touch low, finish vertical. Touch low, finish vertical. I don't have the stability with my hand here as if I brought it up here and I stacked it over the scapula. So what people tend to complain of is anterior shoulder pain. The front of the shoulder starts to hurt over time. It's not one rep. It's never the one rep. When someone blows something on a bench press, a pec, a tricep, it's not the one rep. There was stuff going on before. Drugs aside, because drugs change tissue. So what happens is usually you would see someone who would either do a lot of their training with this shoulder position, or they're always pressing too low and not restacking over the joint. And then over time, they get that hypertrophied rotator cuff, which then you lack space and movement and it gets swollen and it gets sawed upon over time. And that's when the rip or the tears tend to happen. So our optimal bar path is going to be like an escalator. It's going to go slightly down on the way down and then up. The wider your grip, the less of an escalator it's going to be. The narrower the grip, the more of an escalator it's going to be. The shorter your arms and the bigger your chest is, the less. And the longer your arms, the flatter your chest is, the more. So we could probably take everyone in here in the group, line you all up on the bench press. You would all have a slightly different bar path, but you all should still use the same rule of the escalator. Because some of us have 12 steps of an escalator, some of us have six, and some of us have 18. Sorry, Vamshi. However, if you've got really long arms and the bench press is not your favorite exercise, you probably love deadlifts and vice versa. Any questions on the bar path or bench press? Nope. Okay. So just reminder here, the things we talked about after the assessment was shoulder blade position, call that our setup, we could. Our grip, optimal grip, mid grip, wide grip, close grip, and what each position means. The elbow flare. in the bar path. But none of those matter if we're messing up some of the extras and we're not doing these extras here. So I'll give you an example. You want to stress the tissues from multiple angles and multiple ranges. I see this in the powerlifting community a lot, where they only do bench press. And then what ends up happening over time is they start getting issues with the pec. And then when you take a look at someone, their muscular development is the lower part of the pec is really developed, yet they've got no muscle tissue in the upper part of the pec. They've got no muscle tissue in the upper part of the pec because they never train the pec minor. That's kind of the higher part. So to train the pec minor, you want to be doing flies at higher positions. You want to be doing presses, the bar at higher positions here, more like the clavicular area. And then what happens is they get more of a full chest, but they're not stressing it evenly. At the same time, pressing works a lot of the front of the shoulder. If the front of the shoulder gets really developed and really tight from overtraining, it actually changes your structure and can pull it forward. So if it pulls it forward, even without your intentions, when you go to bench press, your ability to be retracted into press is going to be harder because you're starting off with this posture. It's called a kyphosis or kyphotic posture, where your shoulder blade becomes elevated and anteriorly tilted. What then happens is all the back muscles look really flat. So someone with that kind of posture, where their back is really flat, usually suggests they don't have a lot of muscle development within the mid back or surrounding the posterior deltoid. Because when you balance the two, you train the chest and you train the upper back, the rear deltoids, the rhomboids, it pulls your shit open. There's no other way to say it. So your posture looks good. And then your muscles are more in balance, and that anterior tilt is less likely to happen. So you want to stress the different tissues as well, from multiple angles, multiple ranges for multiple development. Now, if you only press lying on your back, when you go to press overhead, it's going to feel hard. So I always suggest that from an extra perspective, to have a good balanced bench press, we want to bench press flat, incline, decline, maybe. Military press, overhead press. If you can do behind the neck pressing with a barbell, you've got pretty good mobility and strength at the same time, and that can make your shoulders much more robust. With your back, if you can strengthen your back, you're going to be way more stable on the bench. And then the side effect of also strengthening your back is your muscles in your back are larger in size. So that gives you that bigger torso to decrease your range of motion. So anytime I see like a world-class power lifter, I'm always intrigued to see what do they look like when they started. And it's obvious a lot of them have usually like smaller thighs, they have a smaller midsection, they tend to have the smaller upper bodies as well. And you'll notice if you were to measure that their range of motion on their bench as a rookie lifter is always different than when they're more of a seasoned lifter. They've done it for a bunch of years because their back muscles are also much thicker now, as well as the rest of their body. So they can shave off some of that range of motion. So strengthen your back. Always do a lot of exercise for the back. Programming. This is important. You have the best technique in the world, but if your programming is too much for your body to adapt and recover from, then that's going to be the problem. So let's say you hit all those points of technique, but all of a sudden, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're going to warm up, try to do a max single on bench press, and then do 5 sets of 10 drop sets afterwards. Monday, Wednesday, it's too much. Body can't adapt with that. It can't recover from that. It's too much. So what ends up happening is you beat your body up, your tissues get overstressed, they don't adapt, and they don't recover, and that leads to shoulder pain, shoulder discomfort. So you have to program your volume and your intensity around. So a rule of thumb that I tend to do for the average person is I don't go back to back on either day. So let's say I'm programming bench press 2 times a week for someone. One day it's going to be more volume, one day it's going to be more intensity. So more volume could look like you can calculate it with all the reps times sets times weight. So if someone's lifting a 100-pound or 200-pound bench press for sets of five, that's 1,000 pounds on one set. They do 5 sets, that's 5,000 pounds. If they bench twice a week, that's 10,000 pounds. I could say, okay, one day it's gonna be 5,000 pounds, the other day it's gonna be 1,500 pounds, but we're just gonna do a bunch of doubles and triples at a heavier load. So that's where you can balance the two. One day is heavy and little total volume, the other is light and a lot more volume. So you gotta not do them back-to-back days. Try to go really heavy on Friday and then really heavy again on Saturday. It ain't gonna work good. The last thing here is, I say this all the time in my live sessions with people, I say when you grind your reps, you grind your tissues. Let me say that again. When you grind your reps, you grind your tissues. Now, I got some asterisks there because there's caveats to it. I'm not saying you can never grind your reps, but what happens usually with a novice lifter versus more experienced lifter is when they grind their reps, their form changes. Under fatigue, the body is always going to phone a friend and try to make it easier. So if I'm bench pressing and this is my technique on rep one, two, and then all of a sudden I start to get tired, it might look more like this. I lose my shoulder position. I drop my chest collapses. So now all of a sudden my range of motion is much greater. I might protract my shoulders at the top because I need a break. Or I'm pressing and then I just reach forward. So if you're doing a grind rep where it's and one of those things happen, now you're grinding your tissues. But if you are able to maintain perfect technique under a grindy rep, it should just be slower. It should just be slower. Nothing else should change. The elbow position should always be the same. It should just be like this, not nothing like that, nothing like the shoulder changes, nothing like the head lifts. That's a major difference. So you can grind under those circumstances as long as your technique stays the same. And then the second asterisk is there's a time and place to grind, and it's when you're testing a max, not every Monday. And it's okay to grind if you're testing a max. It shouldn't go like this. That's not a max. It should be more like that. That would be a true speed of a max. So there's time and place to grind your reps. It shouldn't be on a weekly basis, and it shouldn't be where your technique changes. So to have pain-free pressing, pain-free shoulders when it comes to bench press, these are the four things that take into consideration. Stress your tissues from multiple angles and ranges. Make sure your back is very strong as well. So put a lot of emphasis in training your back muscles. Programming the dance of the volume and intensity. Make sure it's not back-to-back days. I know you guys are here all got coaches. So I'm usually very like, you can adjust your program throughout the week. Here's the five workouts of the week. If you got to adjust things back around on different days, no problem. However, if there's two bench press days in there, we're not going to do them back-to-back days. If there's two deadlift days, we're not going to do them back-to-back days. Like that's an absolute no. And then lastly, when you grind your reps, you grind your tissues. There's time and place for it, but for the majority of us, it's going to beat us up if we're doing too much grinding or we're losing technique as we go through. So, how was that for everyone? Oh, I like the thumb emojis. That's great.
Hey Chris, I got a question for you.
Please.
Two, one, crunchy shoulders in general, and we're working through that. The other one is laying on a bench, tightness in the back, not being able to get the feet planted on the ground. Would it be
Okay.
okay to put a block under your feet to get a stable platform rather than being up on tippy toes?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So for the first one there, the crunchiness of the shoulders. So this is a bit of a nuanced answer because it'll depend on what's being crunched. Let me give you an example here. If you have our shoulder blades have it's a floating joint. It's like the only joint in the body that floats. Most joints have these connected tissues. They lock them in place. They have certain ranges. Our shoulder blades have 17 or 18 attachment points, depending on which anatomy book you're reading. But it allows a shoulder blade to do this. Go that way, go that way, go this way, go that way, reach this way, go that way. So the shoulder blade should technically be able to move in the same direction as your eyeball. And the major reason for that, fellas, is so you could escape that birth canal. That's the idea. Most babies come out and they're all like shoulders are dislocated because they're not even fully located at that point, but that's the purpose behind it. Over time, if we don't move the arm in those ranges, stuff gets sticky. And what can happen is when you move it around, you can get like a connective tissue kind of like moving, like rolling over on something, and you get a couple sounds in there. Now, if you're normal, like you wake up in the morning, you got some crunchy shoulders, then all of a sudden you do a few of these, you do a few of these, you do some of these, and then all of a sudden the sound goes away, and you're like, no, I'm good. Okay, you're just warmed up. You are ready to go. However, the other caveat of that is sometimes you might have microscopic tears in tissues. You might have actual tears in tissues. People can have a torn rotator cuff and they can still do their day-to-day thing, but it'll show up when they go to lift a load and someone gives out and you're like a clack, clack, pop, pop, pow. You're like, oh, that's not very good. And there's weakness associated with it. If that's happening, you don't want to be doing whatever exercise you're attempting to do. Because what that suggests is you don't have the ability to do that exercise appropriately, and someone else is going to have to compensate. So I coach you. If there's any of those movements there, let me know and we will remove them out.
Okay.
Second point there, if you find it difficult to get your feet flat on the floor, can you elevate something? Put blocks or plates underneath? Absolutely, that's totally fine. Because if we want to maximize stability on any pressing, we want to have our feet in contact with the floor as much as we can or the ground. So if I'm just on my toes, I'm going to be less stable than if my whole foot is flat. Now, there is some powerlifting federations that allow the heel to be elevated, and those athletes will actually be up on their toes and they'll pull their feet back. And it's a different technique that takes a lot of practice to get used to, and they can be quite efficient at it. But if you don't practice a heel elevated bench press arching technique, then you're just going to be more unstable. So 45-pound plates, bumper plates are always good. Deadlift blocks or something blocks are good, but it's whatever you use, try to make sure it's as flat as can be so you can actually grip
Yes.
it. Okay, cool. Any other questions here or comments anyone would like to bring up regarding this presentation here or the bench press in general?
Just a quick question on like your elbow and hand position. It's part of it seems just dictated by the bar, like you're at a certain width on the bar, but is there any active effort to drive the elbows in, or like, is there any active component of thinking like bring my elbows together, drive my hands together, pull them apart, or any of that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's going to be very nuanced here. And let me give you guys all the example. Depends on what you're training for. If you're training for hypertrophy, you want to maximize the contraction of the pec every time you do a press. The pec does this motion, takes your arm and it pulls it in, it adducts it. So everyone here do this right now. Put your arm out in front of you, put your hand on your chest, and pull your arm towards your midline. Now, pull it just past your midline. Feel it really contract. Now, when we do a bench press with a barbell, you can't really do this. You can do it with cables, right? But you can't do it with a barbell. But what can you do? If I want more pec engagement, when we grip the bar, as we come upward from the press, as we come up and we're pressing, actively squeeze inward just a little bit. You don't have to have your hands slide, but if you squeeze inward on the way up, you'll contract these muscles more. So if you squeeze inward and contract these muscles more on the way up, how do you think you can stabilize the ones on the back? You do the opposite. You pull out on the bar as you lower down. When you pull out on the bar, the elbow position tends to be more stable. So if someone benches and their elbow is kind of doing the funky chicken, that suggests they have no back stiffness or back stability. So back stability can come from retracting, depressing your scapula, as well as pulling out on the bar as you lower it down to your chest. So if we're trying to do hypertrophy, just use the pec muscle, you use that squeeze inward technique. If you're trying to just lift as heavy as possible, don't use that technique. Pull on the bar on the way down, but don't squeeze inward on the way up. Keep that pull on the way up as you're pressing. That'll allow you to use a lot more of your lat muscle when you do a press. So it's always going to come down to what are we trying to get out of the exercise. If you're in a strength phase, that's one way to press. If you're in a hypertrophy phase, that's the other way to press. Good question. Got time for one more question.
Hey Chris, I'm the flat-chested, long arms. So,
Handsome, intelligent man. Yes, you and me are very much alike.
the barbell bench, I find if I let it touch my chest, my arms are already way behind the body, right? And then if, and I guess same with dumbbells, if I'm like putting it all the way down. My elbows are way behind my body. So that then encourages a little bit of, shoulder forward. So should I stop kind of, before it goes all the way down, or what should I do?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you should do, right? Because there's no one saying you must touch the bar to your chest. It's arbitrary. In the sport of powerlifting, it's part of the rules. It's just like they won't let you on a field in the NFL without your helmet. It's part of the rules. But from my understanding, none of us here are competing in the sport. So we don't have to follow that specific rule. You'd even have your heels elevated if you want. Right. If you're like, hey, I like to bench that way, that's totally fine. We're not in competition. So for you, if you're like, listen, I can get the most out of my bench press and my chest if I stop just below 90 degrees, then that's where you would press. And if I coached you and Gav's coached you and we're live in session, and if we saw you bring that bar to your chest and every time you touched your chest, we would see you just lose all your stability. We'd be like, man, the juice ain't worth the squeeze. We'll stop 2 inches off the chest or 1 inch off the chest. And if you really want a lot of a contraction in there, use a technique that I was just talking about with Jeff, where come down 2 inches off the chest, pause, squeeze inward, one, two count, and then do your press. You won't be able to do as many reps, but you'll blow up your pecs doing that technique.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Oh, very welcome. Very welcome. Okay, boys and boys, that is it. Hopefully, you remembered one thing from here that'll allow you to be a little bit more pain-free when it comes to your pressing or things you can apply on Monday. I'll be back again the first Wednesday of the following month, probably doing something else regarding strength, squat, deadlift, or bench press. It's great seeing everybody. Enjoy the rest of your month and keep getting it, boys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Very welcome. Enjoy your evenings.